Hi, it's the Sue Dockerill Show, and I am so excited to be on the show with everyone out there. Bring in the goals, BYOG, bring your goals to the show, and let's have a breakthrough today. So whatever is in your life right now, I want you to just be thinking about what that might be. It could be something that you got going on at work. It might be somebody that you've been working with and you're not feeling appreciated or something, and you sense something, little energy issue there with a coworker. It could be at home. Maybe there's a lot of passion in the relationship, but with passion, maybe there's been some feuding going on. Whatever it is, maybe it's a teenager that all of a sudden is being very argumentative, and no matter what you do, you don't feel like anything's working. Or maybe you got a toddler at your toes, and you're very busy, and it seems like the child is hard to please, hard to satisfy. No matter what you do, they just want more, more, more. Think about something, an area in your life, whatever that area might be. And as you're listening to our show today, think about what is one thing in your life that you would like to have it go different than how it's gone in the past. I think all of us can relate to having situations in our life where, especially in conversation, where a conversation, how you wanted it to go, and then how it absolutely ended up, didn't quite end up the way you wanted it to go. So in order to change and shift the way we see things and the way things end up, it's going to have a huge impact on our goals. And goals are just things that we want with deadlines, okay? So as a coach, it's something I've been very excited about. I give people this 90-day challenge, and I ask them to bring anything to the table. And I have seen miracles. I've been in the middle of tomorrow's show is going to be awesome. I'm actually going to have a mother on the show, and if you could have seen them 3 months ago, I walked into the house, and all there was screaming. The daughter is 18. She's wanting to be treated like an adult. And I'll tell you, those teenagers, that's what they're striving for. And the more you push, the more they shove. And within 3 months, right down to the wire, I saw the miracle shift. I saw the mom. She looks 10 years younger. She is so lit up. I can't wait to have her on the show tomorrow and let her share her journey, and her daughter as well. I'm also working on a teen show tonight at 9 o'clock. I'm going to start the first episode. So if you have teenagers and you'd like them to join the show, imagine teenagers getting coached by somebody that really, I have no preference whether they choose A or B. And so it's kind of nice to have a coach where I'm just along with the journey. And there's no good, there's no bad. We're either thriving or we're struggling. And today I have a caller that has been struggling with smoking. And she kind of would like to hop on the call today. And she's trying to get on right now as we speak. And her name is Patty, and she is going to call into the show right now. And she's somebody I've been coaching, and we've had some amazing breakthroughs. Okay, this is a mom who's recently divorced, and she put on the table what she wanted. She wanted to be able to go apart peacefully, and I would highly say that this is something she has achieved. Amazing co-parent. She's given up a lot, let go of a lot of the resentment, a lot of the old stuff. So once that was cleared, we were able to get on to the other things in her life that she wanted. So I'm going to bring her on the call, and let's welcome her to the show. Hello, Patty, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Well, I was just giving everybody a little update on, you know, how we've been on quite a journey. I don't know. When did I start coaching you?
Probably, gosh, it's been at least 4 or 5 months, right?
4 or 5 months. 4 months. And do you remember when you...
Yeah.
When we kind of got on that call, you know, we got into this, you know, you kind of wanted to let go of some stuff and clear the space to create this extraordinary life.
Right.
And what are some of the things that you've let go so that you could absolutely have everything you want? Can you just, like, what are some of the things that you've kind of, like, just, like, let go of?
Let go of worry, let go of wondering, you know, what's going to happen in the future and just try and live for today. You know, just trying to stop looking back and, you know, and reminiscing about all the bad things and just try and move forward.
So, you know, like when your marriage broke up, you were devastated, okay? You didn't really want that breakup, true?
Correct.
But when we actually kind of looked into your marriage, you weren't really feeling loved in that marriage, were you?
No, not for quite some time.
And valued? And did you feel like you belonged? Did you feel like you had any power no matter what you did? Did you feel like you could alter getting your needs met?
Right. I just didn't want the big D word. And I think I just held on as long as I could.
And you probably did a lot more pleasing and submitting and, you know, maybe even more giving. Did you feel that, like, as far as bargaining? Could you feel yourself kind of, like, not putting your needs first and trying to make everybody else happy, like, as an attempt
Absolutely.
To kind of save everything?
Absolutely.
And how did, you know, so you're at the bottom and you're trying to, you know, understand where you're – husband's coming from, and you've got a teenage daughter as well. What was that like, losing yourself in the middle of all of that?
I was just lost. You know, I just didn't really think that there was a place for me. And, you know, I just became, you know, just became more of like a robot, just did what I needed to do get through the day and to, mm-hmm. just to do it all over again the next day.
And I might say you're a pretty accomplished person. You got a great career. You're very smart, thrifty with your money. I'd say you could teach quite a few people how to manage money. And you do really have a lot of talent and autonomy. Like, you're really not dependent on anybody, are you?
I don't need to be. I know I can do it all on my own. Yes, I'm definitely self-sufficient, but, you know, absolutely.
So
I don't want to do it all by myself,
like,
but I can.
Right. And can you see where there's some power in that?
Yeah, and almost you can, I can almost see that I could probably make someone feel a bit inferior only because I know I can do it myself and I don't need any help. I just want it, that's all.
Mm-hmm. But as you put yourself up at the top and you start to look around, can you start to feel that sense of, wow, this is my life and I can have whatever I want? Like, almost like a kid in the candy store. Where
mm-hmm.
you start to, with, you know, I know I've been your coach, and it's kind of like whatever you ask for, we put it on the agenda. And the recent one we put on the agenda was all of a sudden you were getting a little bit ready to do some dating, right?
Right.
And I gave you some homework.
Yeah,
and
it worked.
You know, can you see that you were in a position in your life where you were actually starting to go, wow, this is what's going to make me happy, instead of taking this from the place of, I got to find somebody that I can make happy.
Right.
You know, it's like when you put yourself up at the list, you start to think, you know, gee, I'm okay. And wouldn't it be nice to attract somebody in your life that also was self-sufficient and, you know, pretty independent? And can you tell us a little bit about your dating, like what it, how that experience of that, like,
well,
how that?
I mean, the first one, you know, the first guy I was sort of dating, that turned into a train wreck. But, you know, just a bit anyway. So, but it actually did kind of, yeah, it kind of did feel pretty good. Someone, you know, trying to scout me and follow me and you know, not really stalk, but, you know, he was just crazy. So I finally had to tell him he's got to go.
Yeah, he felt crazy over you. Like, he got kind of crazy about you. You know, you're an attractive, good-looking, beautiful woman and very smart and successful. You know, it would make sense that somebody would be attracted to you. But one of the things that we've kind of put in the works here to, is to give yourself a year out of just kind of really trying things on, including different men, to see, you know, what you want. And you also made a list. Do you want to share that list? Like, how did it feel when I actually gave you the homework to sit down and make a list?
You know, it definitely felt good, and it just, you know, proved the fact that, you know, what I had isn't what I really wanted.
So what's the, go ahead. What you actually were dating isn't what you wanted, correct?
That, yeah, absolutely. And just who I was married to really wasn't what I wanted or needed.
Wow, so. That's a huge breakthrough. I'm not sure I've actually heard you say that.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking a lot lately.
Oh, my goodness. So you're actually starting to see that, hey, this man I was married to for how many years?
18.
That, you know what? It was a fit for when it was a fit. I don't believe in mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But is it possible that you outgrew that fit?
I don't know if I really outgrew it. I think, I outgrew the way that he changed, you know, because he's just not the same person today than he was, you know, when I met him 20 years ago. You know, his ambitions, you know, went from just a small town guy to, you know, doing what he does now. So, you know, he's just gone way ahead of where I've, you know, ever wanted to be. So, you know,
did you see where maybe the relationship kind of outgrew itself?
Like,
not looking at either one of you, but the relationship that held you together, it kind of like had an expiration date.
You know? But, you know, I guess it is what it is.
Because, you know, we can't change people. So, you know, we can change ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have become more adapting, but then you kind of lose yourself, don't you?
Yeah, and I just didn't, that's not where I wanted to be. I'm just not a public eye type of person.
Yeah, so maybe politics wasn't your thing. And so you kind of like, you try it on for a while, but you can only try on something that's not authentic for so long.
Right.
You know, people can fake it for only so long.
Right.
And human beings, the one thing that we all need is to feel loved, to feel valued, to feel powerful, and to feel like we belong. And when we don't get those needs met, we misbehave. Like little kids, we misbehave. Can you see how you were misbehaving in your marriage?
Yeah. You know, I definitely wanted to... I definitely did a lot more things without him. You know, I went on vacations without him just because I thought it would be easier, you know.
Uh-huh.
probably had more girls' nights than I really needed. Just
okay.
Because I just didn't want to be there, I guess. So, and I didn't mind if he went out and had his guy time. You know, like some people get jealous, and I didn't.
So you kind of developed your own separate circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on was on his wheel.
Yep, he watched his TV shows in his TV room, and I watched mine outside on the, you know, on my porch, you know, because I have a TV and everything out there. It's all set up. But we were definitely definitely sort of living like roommates for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And I think our listeners, I think people can relate to this because, you know, let's face it, anybody that's been married over 20 years, you are roommates. You know, and there's nothing wrong with developing separate interests, but what happens is you don't put enough we in there and you're not connected, so you start to drift apart. And, you know, neither one of you were getting your needs met in the relationship. You went outside the relationship with your friends, and maybe he went outside the relationship with the politics, and you see how you kind of got your needs met outside the marriage rather than inside the marriage.
Right.
And then eventually you go apart, and then you have all the remorse and feelings, but the seriousness, it takes about 3 years. And you are doing remarkable, because your divorce was just final when?
February 9th.
So February 9th, and, you know, you've been doing a lot of things for yourself. Can you share some of the things that you're most proud of that you've accomplished?
Well, I mean, because it actually started a year ago, but it took a year to get the whole thing finalized. But, you know, I just started my own projects. I painted the whole outside of my house by hand. I did the whole inside. I cleaned everything out, you know, on the inside, anything that we had together for a while, and, you know, and just made it, you know, made the house my own, refinanced it in my own name, just trying to keep busy and, you know, it looks good when I know I've done it myself. And it makes me feel
that
good rather
awesome.
Than hiring somebody.
Right, and that must have made you feel good doing some hard labor, you know, during this time, you know, because talk about taking out the stress, you know.
Yep.
Seeing something instant beautiful like painting, as soon as you paint it, you know, it looks amazing. So that
right.
had to
Chop
feel
down.
Good. What about your body? Yep. I know that, what have you done personally for your well-being?
Well, I think, you know, going through a split up like that, you're going to lose a little bit of weight, but, you know, also joined CrossFit and probably lost about a little over 30 pounds. So definitely in better shape than I've ever been. I probably weigh a couple pounds more than when I was pregnant, but I'm a size less than when before I was pregnant. So makes me feel really good to have people say, you know, go eat a cheeseburger, why don't you? You know, rather than,
yeah.
You know, let's go to a Weight Watchers, you know, class today or something. So
you can actually
nice.
Kind of like, have fun cheating. What about your bodybuilding? I mean, you actually started to do some competitions.
Mm-hmm. I just have a fun competition, really, for everybody. And it was just good to see, you know, how you score throughout the whole, United States or everybody that's in CrossFit. And, I mean, I placed in the top third in my age group, so it was kind of nice. It felt good.
Wow. That is amazing. And you're also a runner, aren't you? Haven't you done some running in the past?
I have. I'm kind of getting away from it, but I mean, I did 2 half marathons, but it was about 8 years ago. Maybe one was 6 and one was 8. So that was fun.
Wow. That takes a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
Were those marathons here in Florida?
Yeah, the Disney half. So
wow.
It was fun.
So that's
going
like running a full marathon somewhere else because of the heat and humidity.
I guess, yeah.
I can't imagine. Half marathon, how far is that?
13.1. So it took me 2.5 hours. I could never imagine running 5 hours in a row. So
yeah.
There's
well,
there's,
the heat
yeah.
down here and the humidity is unbelievable. So that's amazing.
Right.
You know, some of the misbehavior we are talking about when you don't get your needs met. Could you think of a device or something that you know? I know you put something on the table that your next goal, because you've absolutely, you know, transformed your body. You've let go of a lot of the resentment and the guilt, and you opened up yourself. I know you went on a cruise recently, and it was kind of like a celebration. I don't know. There's something I noticed on the phone as you were saying goodbye to me right before you went on that cruise, that it just felt like you were just like, I don't know, it was almost like a coming out party. Am I right?
We kind of started planning it, you know, about 6 or so months ago. So it was, you know, we were just glad that it was finally here. So, you know, we had a really good time, just had a bunch of people with us and it was just a lot of fun, whole 5 days.
And your daughter, and mm-hmm. yeah, and you guys were having
fun.
Let
her bring
That's
a friend,
awesome.
And yeah, we had a really good time.
Yeah.
So it was just nice to get away.
And you also put on a list, you know, some things that you were important to you. I always tell people, don't go dating without a list. It's like going shopping. You're going to end up with things you don't want. And you experienced that. And the good thing is that you had that list to really go back and check. And mm-hmm. I know that I always tell people, look at how people handle their alcohol, how they handle their money, how they handle their temper. And how are they around children, especially if you have children? And, you know, what are the characteristics, you know, that are important to you? What were some of your top three?
Well, I actually did not bring my list with me. But, you know, I definitely, you know, I wanted someone to, you know.
Oh, those are my dogs.
I mean, I definitely wanted someone that always makes me feel important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely wanted someone that was caring, you know, and that, you know, can actually, just actually has his stuff together, you know? So
I gave you an assignment. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, finish what you were saying.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Well, I gave you an assignment to actually get on a dating service and mm-hmm. use your list. And as you were looking through the possibilities, you want to give us a little story about how that happened?
Yeah. Well, I did get on, you know, a dating website and, you know, and we just had, me and my daughter actually just had a lot of fun with it, you know, because you're like, no, that's, you know, my daughter would be like, no. So we'd, you know, get rid of this one, get rid of that one, save this one, get rid of that one. And you know, I had a couple of matches and one of them that matched, you know, had just messaged me and, you know, and just said, you know, whatever, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And that was his first time on there. And I, you know, I just said, well, you know, I'm going on, or he's like, you know, you want to meet up sometime? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be available for a while. I got to go on a cruise. He's like, oh, that's great. Just, you know, just message me when you get back. And, you know, I waited a few days, messaged him, and then we had our first date like that very next Wednesday. So and it went pretty well.
And how'd that go?
Well, it was good. The very first, you know, I got there a little early and you know, the very first thing he said when he walked in is, wow, your pictures do not do you justice. So I was like, wow, mm-hmm. I think that's a compliment. So that was pretty nice. And, you know, we've been on a couple of dates and, you know, it seems like a nice person.
Awesome. So you're having fun. You feel connected. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel, I know you're a little bit more excited about this person. And you're still, mm-hmm. you know, in the discovery stage, right?
Right, exactly.
Discovering
a lot
what
of questions.
You know, a lot of questions and keep discovering and just enjoy that journey. It's so fun when you meet somebody new that there's a spark and you get
right.
all excited. And
right.
Now you mentioned also that the next goal on your list is to give up smoking.
Right. Yeah, because silly me, let that take me over once again, because I've quit a few times in my life, once for 8 years, and I don't, you know, I don't blame it on anything. I just blame it on, you know, it just took me over again, and I let it happen.
Okay, when it took you over, I'd just like to go to that place. Can you give me a scenario of the first time you lit up after 8 years of quitting?
It tastes nasty, but it just gave me just an instant relaxation. You know, just
okay,
something
so
to be.
Okay, so what was going on in your life at that time? Because remember, I told you, when you're not getting needs met, we have a tendency to misbehave. So can
I
put
smoking
in that category?
Yeah, and I was actually having some back problems at that point, and I wasn't able to, you know, exercise as much as I wanted to, and I was probably feeling a little more down than normal, and I let it, and I just found a pack of cigarettes somebody had left at my house, and nobody was home, so I lit one up, and, you know.
That was it.
Didn't look back. Yep.
Okay, now, were you married at the time?
Yes.
Can you see how you weren't getting your needs met in that marriage? And can you see that, you know, you went towards something that you associated some kind of pleasure with smoking, true or false?
Oh, absolutely. And I still have. I still do, because I still enjoy it too much, but I know I need to quit just for my health and you know, my daughter and and this new guy.
Okay. So, all right. So let's just first of all be real straight up. You have made a positive association with smoking, true or false?
True. Absolutely.
Okay. And what did I tell you about anything in life that we want to break through, or anytime you got something going on in your life, it's 80% psychology, right? It's your thinking about it. And if you continue to think, you know, the way you're thinking about smoking, can you see where it's going to be harder?
Yes, every time.
Okay, so about 10 minutes left on this call.
Okay.
I got 5 minutes left on this call. So here's what I want to do. I want you right now to start associating massive pain if you don't quit. Just start naming things that are going to happen to you. Start.
Right now?
Yes.
I mean,
what is happening in your body? What's happening around you? What's happening? Just start. Say everything that's happening. Go.
Well, I know cancer can be an issue. My breathing while I'm trying to work out is getting harder. I know it stinks. And I know, you know, my daughter is very scared because she doesn't want to lose me. It's definitely hindering.
So what's it costing you? Does your daughter want to get close to you and cuddle with you when you're smoking?
No, she doesn't. She would rather me not smoke in order for her to get around me and cuddle with me.
Okay, and what happens
even
after you smoke the cigarette and it's a half hour later, can she smell it?
Oh, yeah, she can still smell it.
So you stink.
You can probably
smell
it
for
everywhere.
So I want you to associate stink, black lungs, you're dying. We're all dying. Everybody that's listening to the show is dying. But you're progressing. You're speeding up that process, true or false?
True.
And, you know, what else can you associate? I know you're dating this guy. I don't know if he's a smoker or not. But
yeah.
I know.
I think he used to smoke and maybe only smokes when he drinks. But, it's just not fun kissing somebody that, you know, that has smoke breath that tastes like an ashtray.
Yeah, so you're kissing an ashtray, right?
Correct. And, doesn't matter how much you brush your teeth or whatever.
Right, and so you're not being a very positive influence on his life either. If he was a former smoker, so if he sees you smoking, you two are going to just like start smoking, right?
Right.
And then that's a lose-lose because now you're both dying. Now you both have stink breath. Now you both are having black lungs. And you're back to being with another addict. And is that on your list?
Yeah, I definitely don't want an addict of any kind.
So we don't want somebody that's got an addictive path. So if you continue to smoke, can you see how you're going to attract more addictive personalities?
Correct, yeah.
And so that's not who you are. It's just something you fell into. It's some behavior. It's a rebellious behavior. It was, you
rebellious
know, I'm going to smoke. Yeah, because you were feeling so bad. But now put yourself at the top of the list. Feel how good you feel. Now, I want you to imagine how you're going to feel 5 years from now if you continue to smoke. And you know how nicotine and addiction works. You're going to need more and more. It's not going to go less and less.
Right.
So in 5 years now, you're going to be smoking more, and you're going to have blacker lungs, and you're going to have coughing, and you're going to stink.
Right.
And you might have another addict smoking with you.
Right.
Now,
very true.
Let's flip it, and let's imagine you 5 years from now. You know what 5 years of not smoking feels like. How did you feel 5 years of not smoking? How did that feel?
Well, no, I mean, I definitely felt control because, you know, I'm not going to say I never wanted one, but I was in control because I didn't have one, you know, because I don't know if, it's a very bad thing for anybody to get into because I think it's one of the hardest things to quit. So,
yeah, they say it's worse than cocaine. It's worse than almost any kind of drug. Cigarettes are like definitely the nicotine is going to kill you. So, 5 years out, you're not smoking, you feel good, you're lit up, you're not, you know, you're with another healthy person, whatever that looks like. You know, your daughter's laughing. She comes up to you and gives you a big hug. You feel amazing. Your lungs, you just came back from a big run. You're breathing good. You're looking good. Your hands don't stink. There's no cigarettes in the house. You get to go out to a meal and enjoy it and not have to worry about looking for a place to smoke.
Right.
You can be with anybody because you don't have to just gravitate towards the smoker. You're actually opening yourself up to the whole nother world because anything is possible when you don't have an addiction.
Right.
You get to surround yourself and not have to keep that, you know, you're constantly looking for a place to smoke. Now you can use that time to do something else. And I think the ritual of sitting down is so important. So could you see where you could, like, you know, come on over here and sit down and just really, like, hold your daughter and get her close to you and still have that sit-down, relaxed moment, but you're doing it with touch. You know, you're actually holding on to your daughter or you're massaging this really good-looking guy's neck, you know, and kissing him. And it tastes delicious. And there's nothing there that's causing you to want to go away.
Right.
And you're surrounded by all kinds of love and you feel so amazing. I want you to, all week long, I just want you to do this association exercise of just associate so much pleasure with giving it up. And then every time you have the urge, I want you to just go to pain. I want you to Google some black lungs. I want you to, you know, really look at a woman your age that smokes and look how old their face looks. I want you to have a picture of a very wrinkled woman, especially around the lip area. And, you know, really, if you want to, I suggest you sit down and smoke every cigarette you have. And keep smoking them until you feel sick. And smoke as many cigarettes as you can smoke. Because I want your last smoking experience to be one where you're nauseous. And you're like, you have a sick feeling in your stomach. Just keep smoking as many cigarettes as you can smoke. And then when you can't smoke anymore, and then I want you to put it aside, and I want you to, you know, get a nice shower, get some mouthwash, start to feel fresh again, go out and buy yourself something nice. I want you to just absolutely, you know, just find something that looks really good on you. Every time you get an urge to smoke, I want you to reward yourself with some kind of pleasure. You know, and a pleasure of things that feel good, like a glass of water.
Right.
It's one of the best things you can give yourself. Instead of, like, you know how you like the ritual of sitting down? Make a ritual of sitting down and drinking a full glass of water. And every sip, you're going to do an I am. I am powerful. I am unstoppable. I am invincible. I am healthy. I am, you know, smoke-free. Just keep, and that's your sit-down ritual. And just see what happens at the end of this week. When is your what day are you choosing to really smoke yourself to death and be done?
I need to pick a day. Probably maybe by like Monday. It's always good to start on a Monday morning.
Okay, so is Monday morning going to be the morning that you're going to smoke a bunch of cigarettes? Or are you going to do that on Sunday?
I'll probably do that on Sunday.
All right, how many cigarettes do you have left right now?
I probably have a pack.
Good. I want you to smoke them all by Monday. The entire pack. Can you do that?
I can. And maybe I'll even
awesome.
Start on Friday. Who knows?
And, you know, as you're smoking the cigarettes, I want you to associate the black lungs. I want you to be smoking a cigarette and looking at some pictures, looking at some, you know, I really want you to get that that's not it. And, you know, so that you're associating the negative things. Plus, watch your, how would you like it for your daughter to have a cigarette in her mouth?
Yeah, that's not happening.
Okay, well, that is going to happen if you keep smoking. Because it's only a matter of time before she's just going to go, I want one of those.
Right.
Because my mom is this cool, healthy person. And if my mom can be this cool, healthy person, and smoke, so can I.
Right.
So keep that in mind as you light up. You're saying this is okay. And you're at the bottom of the list when you're smoking, and when you're not, you're at the top of the list.
Right.
So I also want you to associate yourself being a bottom feeder, like you're low, low, low when you're smoking. Because, you know, they did this brainwashing, this Virginia Slim ad, you know, where they showed these glamorous women. And, you know, my mom was a Virginia Slim woman. And she actually died of a CODP. Is it CODP? I always get the initials mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and she actually smoked with an oxygen machine. So she smoked right to the last day of her life. Well, I think she did. She lost her brain over the smoke. It actually compromised her brain, and she ended up not being herself at all. And so but she was a beautiful woman. And they did a lot of campaigning with beautiful women smoking. But I wish you could see those beautiful women right before they died.
Right.
And really start looking at things differently. What do you think?
I think
I'm ready
do
to
it.
Take the challenge.
I just have to. I need to want to do it, and I really want to do it.
So you got the want.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the need?
I need to do it for my health. You know, number one anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that would be putting yourself at the top of the list. You get that?
Yes.
Don't be tricked into thinking, oh, I'm going to smoke because I can do whatever I want. Don't get tricked.
Right.
That's the side of you that's sabotaging your success.
That's exactly what
the
it is.
The one that says, yeah, tell me
I've
about
been able
that
to
one.
Finish my work. Well, I've just been able to, you know, I'm in the middle of my workouts, and I'm like, you know, it's not so bad. I can finish my workout, you know, but then there's other days where, yeah, I can finish my workout, but I could have done it a hell of a lot better if I wasn't smoking.
If you're at the top of the list, you're at the top of your game, and people, mm-hmm. you're going to get attracted to other people at the top of their list.
Right.
People at the top attract other people at the top. If you go out dating and you're on the bottom, you're going to attract other people. You already experienced that.
Right.
So you keep thinking about what level of life do I want to have? Do I want to be up here at the top or do I want to be down here at the bottom?
I definitely would love to be at the top.
So I am at the top. Like you are there. Every time you say I am at the top, you're at the top.
Right.
So you get to have fun. Like, I'm not kidding. Have fun with being at the top. Reward yourself constantly. And every time you're tempted to have a cigarette, that is just like the dark side. And it's not the good side. Dark just right. like the black lungs, just like the black smoke, just like somebody that's going to keep you from having the things that you want in your life.
Right, it only takes about really 3 days to get it all out of your system.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I want you to suck every one of those smokes down your throat.
Okay.
Smoke as much as you possibly can smoke. Make yourself sick.
Okay.
And then be done and just be like, I am at the top of my list, finally. And look at it, look around, see how fun it is, you know? You're 100% responsible for your life. That's what top of the list means for those of you that are listening and think that if you're at the top of your list, you're selfish. No, you're being responsible for the happiness in your life. You're being responsible for the health of your life. You're being responsible for showing your children a better way to live. And that cute guy you got, if he's worthy of you, he'll join you at the top. But you do not want to join him at the bottom.
Right.
So, rise to the occasion. Oh, my gosh. I want to acknowledge you for being so powerful. You're so much fun to coach. Everything you want, you get. So, it's like, whoa. It's just like outcomes. You say you want something, and you get it. So, this is just already done as far as I'm concerned. Like, you're done. You know, you went 8 years without smoking. You can do it. And you can go the rest of your life without it. Especially, how old are you?
43.
Okay, 43. You have time to recover.
I do.
You have time to recover. Your lungs can get really healthy. And, you know, you can just keep putting water in your system. Because I know people have a tendency to want to eat sugar. Chew gum is great. If you need Nicorette gum, get it.
Water.
I don't know. But your body most of us are walking around the planet dehydrated. So the more you put room temperature water into yourself, the healthier you're going to be. So just keep, and those words of affirmation, powerful. All right, sister.
Thanks.
Well, this concludes our show. So anybody else that wants to give something up, why don't you join Patty on the journey, and we'll see where you guys are next week. So I look forward to lots and lots of more calls. So take care, Patty. If you want, join our show tomorrow. And you can join the show by calling into Patty, what's the number? The number is 347-850-1890. So 347-850-1890. I look forward to tomorrow's show. Can't wait. Thanks a lot, Patty, for joining us. And I look forward to hearing all about your great week. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.